Support for the Quite Unusual podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate hygiene bundle for the man in your life, the Performance Package.
Help him join over 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code QUITEUNUSUAL at manscaped.com. And if my math is correct, which I think it is, that's about 16 million clean-shaved balls. I mean, give or take a ball.
Look, guys, the truth is women don't like hairy balls.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we don't have balls, but if we did, I can promise they would be hairless.
Manscaped has everything you need to get your sweaty, hairy balls,
gross,
and bush under control and out of my face. It's not just for men, it's for everyone.
The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and to call us obsessed is an understatement.
We're obsessed. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold, well, I guess anything you want to travel with.
First, we have the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming, and dare I say, the greatest trimmer ever.
You dare.
I used it, and my lawn has never been more manicured.
The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, which we did take turns using.
We did.
It's waterproof, so it's super easy to clean between uses and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs on our delicate, ladylike little noses. But it's still powerful enough to blast through that horrendous forest I know all of you men have growing inside your nostrils.
Ban your smelly balls with their Crop Preserver ball deodorant and Crop Reviver ball toner. It's like a skincare routine, but for your balls.
Manscaped even threw in two free gifts, the super soft Manscaped boxers, which are now my favorite PJs, and the Shed travel bag, which also doubles as a great makeup bag.
It's time to take care of the hairy people in your life. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with code QUITEUNUSUAL.
That's right, 20% off and free shipping if you use the code QUITEUNUSUAL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com if you use our code QUITEUNUSUAL.
Get those hairy balls and bush under control with
Manscaped.
Whoa, how did you do that?
I don't know. It just came out of me.
It was amazing.
Quite
unusual.
Hello and welcome to the Quite Unusual podcast.
Unusual.
I thought you were going to do the intro.
No, it's yours. My story, your intro.
Oh, so true, so true. So, hi, well, welcome, everyone that's listening right now, to the Quite Unusual podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Noelle.
I'm Nicole.
And all of our little animals just ate a pub cup.
We all got Starbucks to prepare ourselves for The Bell Witch Part 2.
Whoa. Two Bell, Two Witch.
Two Bell, Two Witch.
How many times have I made that joke and you're sick of it?
No, it's fine. That's how we number things here at the Quite Unusual podcast. Everything is numbered by where they correspond to the what Fast and the Furious movie is
right.
Called.
Like if there was a third part, this would be Tokyo Witch.
Tokyo Witch, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. Everyone
clearly.
Knows.
It's, I don't know why. It's a question.
All right. I don't know who hit that button. should we just jump into it? This seems like a hefty boy.
It is a hefty boy. We can just jump into it if you want.
Can we do a recap?
All right. Yeah. I can give a brief overview of part one. So if you haven't listened to part one, listen to part one. But we'll just give you a little overview of what we did talk about.
Don't listen to part one.
Just listen to part two.
Just jump in here and be like, what's happening?
So in part one, we talked about the Bell family. John Bell and his child bride, Lucy.
Oh, yeah. She was like 12.
She was 12. Yeah. He was 32.
Fucking yikes.
Not great. But formerly, they lived in North Carolina. So they lived in North Carolina, but they moved to Red River, Tennessee to start fresh.
I looked at how far away that was.
How far? It's not that far.
It's like 500 miles.
But like hours wise in a car.
Do you know? In a car, it's like 8 miles, but like they didn't have cars.
Yeah. So, I wonder how long it would have taken them.
I don't know. I'm going to say, judging by the Donner Party, which is the only traveling party I'm aware of, no one cannibalized during this.
There was no cannibalization.
It was a success. Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't know. I would assume at least like weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, let's just say weeks. We're going to say weeks. It was here in Red River, Tennessee, that they all started being plagued with weird encounters. So first John sees the weird dog near his crops, and then the children are seeing strange apparitions all over the land, all of which seem to start after John had a very, very public fight over a land dispute with a woman named Kate Batts, or her brother-in-law, Benjamin Batts.
It was someone.
We're not sure.
It was someone, definitely.
Someone with the last name of Batts.
But someone definitely sat on someone's chest and tried to get the demons out of them.
Get the demons. Is that what I remember? Yes. Something we will never know, because as I will remind you, that this all takes place in the early 1800s. So record keeping, not great.
No. And also, like, who's going to write that down?
No.
You know?
Yeah, no one's.
Like, there's no cameras. Well, there are cameras, but, like, they don't have cameras. Like, there's not, like, this, how we live in a world where everything is monitored and constantly, like, I don't know, you take pictures, you take videos, like, everything is recorded in some sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you just, like, lived in the moment, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
it was the 90s.
Yeah. The only person who might write about it would be the guy who, like, almost got suffocated under her ass.
This dumb bitch sat on my chest, and now I can't come unless someone sits on my chest, so I don't know what that's about, but I gotta get the demons out of me some way.
Dear diary. So, yeah, for 13 years, the Bell family lived a peaceful life in Tennessee until the witch entered the scene, something that happened right around the time of when their youngest daughter, Betsy, started to enter adulthood.
Right, which we've talked about on so many things, that when a girl gets her period for the first time, more often than not, there's like paranormal activity around it.
Yeah. It's rough, man. It's rough.
It's not. No one's having fun.
No one has fun.
No one's having fun. And then a ghost shows up and it's going to just fuck with your shit.
Even worse.
No, thank you.
And if you remember from the first part, Betsy seemed to be the target of the entity. She was viciously slapped and thrown around by the ghost or witch. And though most of the incidents happened in or near her home, the entity was also known to follow Betsy specifically. So just her, no one else really. First, the witch presented itself in the form of strange noises like lip smacking and rats and pounding.
Boppets.
But then the witch seemed to gain more power and a voice eventually emerged. It was discovered that this wasn't just poltergeist activity. The entity was intelligent and aware of its surroundings. It interacted with the family and it answered any of their questions.
I have a question about the voice that they heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we discussed it in the last one, but did anyone describe what the voice sounded like? Like, was it an actual, like, audible voice?
So actually, we'll get into that a little bit more in this portion,
because
the voice, it comes more into play, you'll see. But yeah, they do eventually describe what the voice sounds like.
All right, I'm very interested to know.
People in the community and all around the area started to get word of this phenomenon and started to come to see for themselves. Several, like Frank Miles, even trying their best to help the family. However, none of these attempts ever worked, and it seemed to just make the entity more angry. And its aggression aimed mostly at poor Betsy, who was around 13 at this time.
Yeah, you had said last episode that the spirit, the witch, whatever we're calling it, the Bell Witch, said it was going to, like, never rest until John Bell was dead.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it's just beating the shit out of this little girl when it should be beating him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing that, isn't it?
It's not great.
We left off with the entity claiming that it was, in fact, Kate Batts. It was Kate Batts' witch, giving itself a name and making everyone in the town point their fingers at Kate for the hauntings. With tourists coming from far and wide, everyone wanted a piece of the so-called Bell Witch. Some wanting to help, and some wanting to crack the case. Which leads us to our next character, Detective Williams.
Ooh.
So Mr. Williams, and that is all we know of his name.
Oh, I know what his first name is.
You do?
It definitely. I looked it up.
What is it?
Mercedes.
Mr. Mercedes Williams.
That's a nice name. Mercedes Llewellyn Williams.
That's his full name?
I looked it up.
That's the name of a star.
Yeah, absolutely. Give this man a cop drama right now.
Anyways, he was a detective from Baltimore who came to Tennessee after hearing about the case of the Bell Witch. He believed that he could crack the case because he did not believe in the supernatural and believed that the entire thing was a hoax.
You know, I'm having a vision right now, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe we make a cop drama, right? Well, it's instead of like good cop, bad cop, you have skeptic cop and then like non-skeptic, like a believer, okay?
And ghost cop.
Yeah, and then ghost cop. Oh my God, ghost cop and then skeptic cop, right? And then when you arrive at the scene of a crime and the skeptic is like, I don't believe in bullets, so I don't believe this man has been shot.
Mm-hmm.
Case solved.
And then what does ghost cop do?
I don't know, fucks around, knocks shit off of things. Like, it's just a ghost that just like follows this man around. He's a skeptic for real life things, but he fully believes in the paranormal.
Oh, that's his thing.
That's his thing. Yeah. What do you think?
I think you should write it. Send it to Hollywood now.
I can't. There's a writer's strike, but as soon as that's over.
But you're not one of the writers.
I'm not a scab, though. That's the most important
thing. Yeah, you can't swoop in when they're at their low point.
No. I'm going to get two nepotism babies to play the cops, and then Netflix will pick it up.
Done. Yeah, of course they will.
Yeah.
So Mr. Williams entered the house as a skeptic, and we all know how the Bell Witch felt about skeptics, and he decided to stay the night, which sounds weird that all of these people are just coming over to the family's house and spending the night all of the time, but the property was way out there in the middle of nowhere, so in order to get to the cabin, it was sort of a long trek, and it really didn't make sense to come and, like, stay for a day and, like, leave.
Yeah.
Because it was so far out there.
Well, you went. How far, like, was it off of, like, the beaten path?
Well, I mean,
there's
the beaten path now is, like, back in the day, I mean, the road that I took to get there probably didn't exist.
Yeah.
Though it was pretty far,
like off of like, the main highway.
The highway, yeah. So I guess we can say that.
Okay.
And at first, things were quiet when Mr. Williams got there.
Mercedes Williams.
Until nightfall, when Mr. Williams retired for bed.
And then he just heard the cracking of knuckles because the fucking witch was ready to rumble.
Listen up, bitch. So while laying in bed, Mr. Williams was pinned to the bed.
He's like, oh no, who's pinning me this bad?
His arms were thrust above his head by an invisible force. And it held him like that. So his hands are above his head.
I hate that my hands are above my head right now. Whoever is holding me in this position.
So while he was pinned and with his arms up, the entity started to slap Mr. Williams in the face, all the while taunting him for disbelieving.
And Mr. Williams was like, never mind.
Do it.
I am a bad boy. You're right. I am. Who's slapping me, Daddy Witch? Oh, my goodness. I'm a believer. Oh, wait. He's from Baltimore?
Yeah.
That's a classic Baltimore accent.
Yeah, that's what people from Baltimore sound like, I think.
Yeah, Maryland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what they sound like.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm a believer now.
What if, like, he wasn't even a detective in the first place, but he just came here because he was, like, super into it?
Yeah, he had, like, a weird, like, fetish
for, like, for getting slapped around by a ghost.
Hope someone doesn't pin me to this bed and slap me around tonight.
I don't believe in a ghost here, that's for sure.
And John Bell's like, do you need towels or like, are you good? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just doing detective-ing over here. I'm good.
Just doing detective-ing.
You know, little old me. Hope there's no ghost.
That might slap me.
Oh, no, whatever will I do?
So when morning came, Mr. Williams, who entered as a skeptic, left the house in a rush, eager to get out of there as soon as he could. For he was now a believer.
He also was smoking a cigarette and said that was the best night of my life.
They woke up in the morning to find him smoking a cigarette in bed.
He's laying in bed next to someone. Like, there's no one there, but there's, like, space for him, and he's smoking a cigarette. Oh, hey, y'all. You have a good night.
Morning, y'all.
Were you the one screaming, make me a believer all night? What? No, that wasn't me. That's okay. I am now, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, Mr. Mercedes Williams.
Ooh.
Oh. Ooh-wee.
Yoo-hoo.
If you'll remember from the first part of this, I talked a little about Betsy Bell and the fact that she was 13 and at this time, that was an age for a girl to be married off, usually to an adult man.
We are both 32 years old. Have you ever looked at a child and not been like you? I look at fucking 28-year-olds. I'm like, you are an infant. You know that, right?
I just got a new phone and I was at the Verizon store and all of them were like early 20s wearing suits. And mm-hmm. It was just like, it felt like a joke to me. I'm like, these little buff boys are trying to sell me a phone right now.
Children.
Children are trying to sell me a phone right now.
Yeah. Like, are children allowed to work? I don't know.
Right? I'm like, should you? It's lunchtime. Don't you? You have to take one.
Someone asked me today how old I was, and I said 37. Wait, no. 32.
30, just what? Go with 37. Oh my God, you look great.
Thank you so much.
So during this time, Betsy was continuing her courtship with Joshua Gardner, who was only 18. So it wasn't that drastic of an age gap.
We'll ship them. That's fine.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Richard Powell, the 31-year-old teacher, was still praying nearby.
So fucking creepy.
Betsy and Joshua had been courting each other for about 2 years now. All while this is happening, so all the haunting, she's getting beat to shit. But she was courting Joshua, and she really liked him. But the Bell Witch had other plans. The Bell Witch hated their courtship.
What?
And she was very invested in Betsy's love life.
Okay, because she's a gossip queen. We all know that.
It is a gossip queen. And it told Betsy that if she married Joshua, she would never be happy. Some say that it was so against this union because the witch had it out for Betsy and it didn't want her to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, there's really no real reason for this opinion. It was never revealed why the witch just didn't want her with Joshua.
Honestly, so rude.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Also, everyone knows if you tell a teenager who they can and cannot date, God,
they're just going to try to.
They're going to date them harder.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's exactly what Betsy did. She did not listen to the witch at all. So eventually the witch intervened.
What?
Yes. One day, Richard Powell.
Ew, Dick Powell.
Dick Powell.
Dick Powell.
Was walking near the property when he all of a sudden got slapped. It was the witch.
Okay.
And it told him that he needed to get in between Betsy and Joshua. It told Richard that if he pursued Betsy, he would succeed.
Gross.
Yeah. One day, the Bell family was hosting the community on their property. It was like a community picnic or something. They just had, like, people from around the town over.
It was just like a party, like a themed party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this picnic, Joshua stood up, declaring that he had an announcement to make.
Aww.
Presumably announcing that he was asking for Betsy's hand in marriage.
Oh.
Before Joshua could utter a word, the Bell Witch interrupted him and said that marrying Betsy would be a fool's errand. And it vowed to follow Betsy wherever she went if the two married.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Are they just like hearing this like ambient mm-hmm. noise?
Yes. That's what this entity is, which is why it's so weird.
Like you can just hear a voice?
You just hear a voice. You don't, they're not seeing anyone. They're not, I mean, besides like the animals and the weird like woman hanging, like they're not really seeing, like occasionally they'll see like a flash of something, but when they are hearing this voice, it's just a voice.
And like the whole community is there and they're all hearing this? Mm-hmm. Dude, that's fucking bonk.
And when people come to visit, it's the same thing. It's just like a random voice, just like out of nowhere.
Where's the bonkometer? I hate it so much. The bonkometer is broken.
It's the but that's what it was, which is also so weird because I don't think I've ever heard of another like haunting case.
No,
where it's as just, like this, where it's just a voice
and it's just like talking out loud and everyone can hear it. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Like usually, it's over a PA system.
Yeah, like this is God speaking. Like that's basically what it is.
Hey y'all, witch here. Quick question for you,
right? But that's what it was. And then when you asked it questions, it would respond back to you.
That's so crazy.
Which, yeah, it's insane. The witch vows to follow Betsy and torment her wherever she goes if she marries Joshua. And at first, this didn't stop the couple. They announced their engagement and everyone in the community was pleased because everyone liked Joshua. He was a good guy and Betsy was a great girl.
Yeah.
It's a great union.
It makes sense also because both of them are like not 25 years apart. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Around this time as well, the witch had sort of eased off of Betsy and it had now turned its sights on John Bell.
Good.
Yeah. So it first started with a pain in his jaw, followed by the stiffening of his tongue.
Okay.
It felt as if he were getting punched in the jaw and then his tongue would stiffen. And it started happening quickly at first, lasting for only a few minutes. But as time went on, the fits started lasting longer.
Okay. It does sound like lockjaw, though.
Yes.
Like tetanus or something.
Yeah. And that's another thing that we'll talk about is that it's the 1800s. It could have been anything, you know.
He could be grinding his teeth at night.
Exactly. Yeah. And in the beginning, it wasn't a big deal, and John was able to hide it from his family. But then the fits started happening for about 10 to 15 hours at a time.
Whoa.
And it was like he basically had no control over his face at all. With his tongue stiffening, it was difficult for him to eat or speak. And his face would twitch during this time, too.
Okay.
So during these 10 to 15 hours, it would also feel like he was constantly being stabbed in the jaw.
It doesn't sound great.
Just like constant pain. And like he can't move his face, can't move his tongue, he can't talk.
I'm going to put these symptoms into WebMD.
It's probably going to come up with like lockjaw or something. So, and then things got weird with John. Fungus started to grow on the back of his tongue. Just like a weird random fungus, which just sounds insane, right?
Fucking gross.
And his throat would swell. So he was having a lot of mouth issues. John was unable to hide this from his family any longer, obviously. I mean, he's got fucking fungus growing out of his mouth. So one night, John Bell Jr. had enough. And he jumped from his seat and he yelled at the entity and told it to stop attacking his father and his little sister. And he challenged it to attack him instead. This was a bad idea, John Jr. Okay.
Not great. Not great, little John.
Nope. Because right after this, they heard Betsy screaming from her room upstairs.
No.
So the family rushed to her aid and found her sobbing, claiming that she had witnessed a full-bodied apparition appear in front of her eyes.
Oh, my God.
The apparition that she saw was a person, and they were just completely on fire from head to toe.
Katniss.
Katniss Everdeen.
In that beautiful dress.
Oh. The apparition walked to her bed and sat down. But the fire wasn't hot, and it didn't leave any burn marks. So John Jr. yelled at the entity once more, telling it to go back to hell.
That's rude. Also, I just looked it up and two things came up, which I like it's definitely one of these things. Not to discount like the witch is real, because like I don't want to not believe the witch, you know?
For sure.
He probably had like a yeast infection in his mouth, which apparently is like a thing that you get from not brushing your teeth.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Gross.
And you get like a burning, stabbing feeling in your jaw. Your tongue turns white and is fungusy looking.
Oh.
Tongue gets like, it like dries out and like becomes hard.
Disgusting.
So he definitely either had that or an ulcer maybe in his jaw.
No, we're going to go with a yeast infection of the mouth because that sounds insane and disgusting and I like it.
That man definitely didn't brush his teeth.
No. Like, what did anyone back in the 1800s?
Hold on. Did anyone brush teeth?
I mean, some men don't even do it now and it's 2023.
A shocking amount of men. Yes. A shocking amount of men,
don't brush
simply
their
do not brush their teeth. That is true. Okay. So apparently before toothbrushes were invented, people used to chew on salt.
Okay.
Sounds good for you.
Yum.
You could also just chew on birch branches.
Okay, so you chew on twigs or salt, and that was how you brushed your teeth?
Yeah, a toothbrush was invented in 1857.
Okay.
But people didn't really start using it until the 1930s.
Okay.
So
everyone was just walking around with, like, stank breath.
No one's breath smelled good.
No.
That's why, like, I always think about, like, in history, It is a fucking miracle children were ever born.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to kiss you if you haven't brushed your teeth.
Dude, right?
Okay? You get, like, if you wake up in the morning and you don't brush your teeth right away, fine. Have a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
fine.
Sure.
You're not brushing your teeth. This is a PSA, and I don't care who I'm making angry right now. This is, like, the feet washing thing.
Everyone should brush their teeth at least twice a day.
Please brush your teeth.
At least.
If you cannot afford a toothbrush, write to us. Go to quiteunusualpod.com. And tell me you can't fucking afford a toothbrush and I will send you a toothbrush.
We will. We'll do it.
We will do this. Also, wash your feet in the shower. I'm sorry. I'll get off this soapbox.
Doesn't it like taste bad if your breath smells? Like, doesn't your mouth taste bad? Like, doesn't that bother you?
People probably get used to it.
That's still
gross. I don't know. Anyways, I'm sorry. I just derailed that. But this man definitely had a yeast infection inside of his mouth.
Yeast. Okay, so John had a yeast infection of the mouth.
John Yeasty Bell.
Gross.
The Yeasty Boy.
All right, so now we're going to get to the fun part, okay?
Okay.
This is the fun part, there's two fun parts. Frank Miles was my favorite story, but then this is like the fun part of the Bell Witch story, okay?
Okay.
So in late 1819... things with the witch started to get weird.
Weirder.
But also fun.
Okay. I fucking love fun, man.
The witch had developed new personas. The voice once claimed that it was one of seven spirits, and it gave three names for itself.
Okay.
Three Waters.
Ooh.
Tina Purdy.
Okay, so I was trying to say Tyler Perry, but yeah, Tina Purdy's good too.
Or Tina Purdy. Tina Purdy, Tina Purdy, and Black Dog.
Okay. I love that it's a character actor.
It is.
Also, the name Three Waters is very cool.
It also claimed that it had a family. At first it was just one voice, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, now we get introduced to four other voices.
Oh, my God, yes.
And the members of this family were named Black Dog. Black Dog is just a reoccurring theme here. Black Dog, Mathematics, Psypography, and Jerusalem.
How interesting.
So Black Dog was the leader of this family, and it was the most brash. It spoke in a high, harsh key. Psypography was the second in command.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of like the fun one. So it loved gossip and had a great sense of humor.
Okay, we love her.
And it spoke in a soft, feminine voice.
Okay, so the Bell Witch is like, hey, everyone. So I'm just going to introduce you to a few people. This is my family. Yes. You're going to fucking love them.
Which also, bear in mind, this is all just voices happening.
Amazing.
So it's insane.
It's like everyone go around the room, say something about yourself. It's like, mm-hmm. It was a, what is it, high and harsh.
Yeah.
I'm Black Dog, and I like to party.
No, it's got to be rougher than that, because Black Dog was, like, in charge.
Okay. But it has to be high still?
It's, like, high and harsh. Like, I don't know.
I'm Black Dog, and I like to party.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
And then Cypocrisy was super funny, loved gossip, and had a great sense of humor, spoke in a softer, feminine voice.
Hey, everyone, it's me. Cypo, you know what I mean?
You're just using your own voice.
Fuck. Okay.
Softer feminine.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Cypo. Yeah, not psycho, you know. No, it's not me. That's I'm Cypo. Anyways, I like to party.
Great. Then we had Mathematics, who really lived up to its name. It was the boring one, and it talked a lot about logic and religion, but it also had a soft, feminine voice.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Mathematics. I just wanted to just wanted to tell everyone that Cypocrisy, she's been watching you while you take a shit, so she knows if you've been wiping or not. Just want to let you know. So, yeah, it's me. I've been doing the mouth clicks the whole time. I'm just really bored.
And the fourth member of the family, which you're going to like voice-wise, was named Jerusalem. And Jerusalem claimed to be the spirit of a little boy.
Well, hey, guys, it's me. It's Jerusalem. And I'm in the house, bitch.
And Jerusalem talked in a little boy's voice. And it claimed that it always told the truth.
I literally always tell the fucking truth.
But it was bullied by all the other members of the family.
And, like, nobody likes that, so, like, they bully me, and sometimes they shove me in a locker. You'll find out what a locker is, and, like during, like, the 1980s, during, like, a bunch of, like, teen drama, if you'll understand, like, being shoved into a locker, like, really fucking sucks. But, like, for now, like, everyone's mean to me. Do you want to be best friends?
Perfect. Perfect. So we got all the members of the family here, right?
Thank you for letting me do voices.
Mathematics was a huge alcoholic, though.
Slay.
But the thing with the members of the family is that they all drank. Like, they were all drunks. And they would drink constantly. And they would constantly be getting into drunken fights with each other.
But these are beings without corporeal forms.
They were just bickering for all to hear. So imagine being in a house and you've got four different voices just happening around you, screaming and yelling and being drunk.
Getting drunker and drunker. Like, you hear, like, the crack of a beer.
Yes, it was insane.
That's
like
amazing.
Drunk people constantly in your home yelling and screaming.
Guys, can I have a beer? That would be super cool if I could have one.
But you can't tell them to leave because, like, they're, like, just voices. And also, like, they're not leaving. So, like, you just have to deal with, like, all of this bickering all of the time.
That sounds terrible.
Insane, right?
But also, this is giving frat house in, like, the worst possible way.
Yeah.
Or, like, when you go to, like, a family reunion and, like, your drunk uncle's there and then, like, your racist uncle's there and then, like, your crazy aunt who, like, probably should, like, get her Lexapro refilled. You know, like, that's what this is to me.
Honestly, you're not wrong. That's exactly how this was. And imagine being the Bell family, like, having to listen to this day in and day out.
Yeah. No, thank you.
But I will say this. They didn't have television.
Oh, so true.
So this was could have been like entertainment for them, you know?
I think it wouldn't not be fun. Like, it would be sort of fun if, like, I could also get at least 6 hours of sleep at night.
Yeah. It could get annoying, but it could also be kind of fun.
You're never alone. You're never alone. In the Bell home.
And you got Cypocrisy, like, telling all your shit to everyone because it loves gossip. So,
did you hear? John Bell doesn't wipe his ass after he shits. We all knew that.
He also doesn't brush his teeth.
Guys, don't tell secrets like that.
It was weird, though, because they could only get drunk if there was booze nearby.
Oh.
So if John brought home some whiskey or something, or if the neighbors had any lying around, it would be able to get drunk. And sometimes it would brag about how, like, they would brag about how they stole booze from the neighbors.
Okay, what are you, a teenager?
Right.
That's not even cool.
But it's just interesting because they could only get drunk if there was alcohol around.
I wonder if the alcohol, like, went away?
I didn't find anything about it going away. I don't think it it did.
I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around this scenario in general. I'm not going right. to lie to you.
There's like no rules for this. So
I fucking guess so. But, I mean, you know what? I love a party house. I'm not going to lie.
We do love a party house.
I'm not going to lie. They probably like bought a bunch of firecrackers and shit and we're just like setting them off. Like this is like no rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the original Jackass.
All of the members of the family were vulgar and excessively unrestrained. Okay. Often they had to leave doors and windows open to avoid the foul odor they created.
Black dog farts a lot, I could tell.
I guess so, yeah. For sure. I mean, there's four of them. You just can't see them, but they're making a lot of noise and farting a lot in the house, so... And they were also constantly arguing, constantly drunk, and constantly disorderly. So
just numerous and belligerent at this point.
Like you said, it's basically a frat house at this point.
It's like if a family reunion in a frat house had a baby, and that baby was Jerusalem.
Was the Bell Witch family.
Yeah.
With the introduction to the Bell Witch family, John Bell had finally had enough. And he just couldn't take it anymore because there's just screaming all of the time in his house.
Like, black dogs just barking.
So he decided that it was time for him and his family to move and to try to get away from all of these entities.
Yeah. And Betsy's like, I've been like literally getting the shit knocked out of me for years. Right. And now we're leaving because you can't stand it. Okay, cool. Right.
Jerusalem won't shut the fuck up, but I've been getting slapped repeatedly for 2 years and now you want to leave?
Yeah, I just...
Jinx dad.
He's like, everyone's telling people I don't wipe my ass after shit, okay? Like, that's a private
man. It's really embarrassing. So he decides that they're going to move. But the witch vowed to follow the family wherever they went. And it proved that it could do so. Remember, it had followed Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, and this is just my thoughts, speculation, just based on what we know about paranormal, just in general.
Yeah.
I wonder if they had crossed either the Mississippi or the Ohio River and moved north or west. I wonder if the entity could have actually followed them.
That is a very interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely talked about it before.
Like crossing a body of water, usually...
Yeah.
Paranormal ghosts or whatever just gets confused and doesn't know where you went.
Yeah. But at the same time, sometimes they're fueled by running water.
True.
I don't know. I wonder. That's really interesting.
Well, we'll never know because they never tried to move. But I wonder what would happen if they had.
Hey, spoiler.
Spoiler, they don't move. At this point, there were five people constantly talking. So you've got like the OG voice and then you've got the four family. And usually they're just talking to each other, having full-on conversations just amongst themselves.
That would feel insane. Yes. Like, do they all have, like, shared schizophrenia or something?
It's kind of like what it seems like, right?
But other people are hearing this.
Yes. Other people, they're not the only, the family is not the only people hearing this.
It's blowing my mind.
People coming, like, around, they hear it too. And every night, the family would sort of put on a little show.
Like a real show?
Like an actual show. They would sing and yell, and people started coming to the house for this, and they knew that this was happening. It was like a show.
I hope they charged for it at this point.
They weren't charging for it. They didn't charge for anything.
There's like a ventriloquist doll like sitting, and it just starts talking.
Yeah, so they put on a show, and sometimes it was actually good. So when they first started, obviously, they were like all over the place, but once they did it more and more...
They were just yes-anding each other.
Yeah, literally. Night. They were like an improv troupe, and they just like got better at it. And it was like some people would come, and like the singing like got good. It was like towards the end, it was sort of like a Broadway production every night. That's without amazing. Like seeing anything. You just heard it all.
I don't understand, but I would have loved to have heard this.
Yeah, it sounds super cool, and I would like to hear it too. But it probably wouldn't be great if you were subjected to it every single night.
No, you don't want to hear, what's the deal with airplane food every single night until they fucking get their tight five down?
They just have the same, like, show that they're playing over and over and over again.
Yeah, Jerusalem's just like, you're a grand old flag, you're a high five flag, you're whatever. Fuck, I forgot the fucking worth to it. And then, like, they're just... Oh, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, he's doing that kid thing where he's like, hey, look at this. Look what I can do. Look what I can sing.
And then someone's finally like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never mind. You're mad at me. I don't want to tell you anymore.
Right. But sometimes they would just, so sometimes the night it was like a show and it was a production and they like did all these like pizzazz.
Gave them the old razzle dazzle.
Yes. But sometimes they would just get drunk and they would just argue and argue and argue until Black Dog threatened to kill all of them. And then they would stop.
So it's like a real improv group, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly like a real improv
group. Basically, yeah. By 1820, the witch was just a part of the Bell family's everyday life. It, or they, I guess, as we're calling it now, because there's multiple of them. They were almost like members of the Bell family at this point. I mean, they would randomly jump into conversations. It was like they were living with five other people they couldn't see.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Like, imagine, like, putting on a dress. Like, you're by yourself. You're in a room. You're, like, putting on a dress. And you're, like, standing in your mirror. I don't even think they had mirrors back then. But you're standing
they
in
definitely
a...
definitely had mirrors.
You're standing in a mirror. And you're, like, does this look good with this? And then, like, all of a sudden, like, on the right side of your head, you just hear, like, Cypocrisy, like, that is not your color. Like, pick something else.
Guys, don't bully her. She looks, like, really good. She looks exactly like, what are those, a buffalo? Yeah, you look like as big as a buffalo in that dress.
Then mathematics is just like science. Math.
And Black Dog's just like, arr, in the corner, just like barking for
Shut
some reason.
Shut the fuck up, everyone. Shut the fuck up or I'll kill you.
That would honestly, like, it's like, I didn't ask you. Thank you so much. But,
right?
Yeah.
They would just like jump into conversations, though. And it just like was a thing that happened because they also lived in the house with the family. Up until this point, everything I've told you of the witch has been bad, though. Well, I guess besides the comedy show and, like, productions they're putting on.
Not great as a whole.
Right. But the witch wasn't always bad. It wasn't all bad. So when it came to John Bell and Betsy Bell, yes, the witch was terrible. But the witch had a soft spot for the matriarch of the family, Lucy Bell. It loved Lucy Bell.
Really? All five of them?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It displayed a kindness and respect towards Lucy. It would bring her fresh fruit and sing her songs.
What?
It once even declared Lucy to be, and quote, the most perfect woman to walk the earth.
Oh, my God. And you know, Cypocrisy is like... Girl, I don't know why you stay with John. He doesn't get you flowers. We get you flowers. When's the last time he took you to a movie? Do you know what a movie is?
He also doesn't wipe his ass, gross.
Like, we all know he doesn't. We've all seen it.
You've seen it. One day, Lucy fell ill. She had come down with pleurisy, which is when the tissues surrounding your lungs become inflamed, and it makes it difficult for you to breathe. It causes chest pains. And this is still something you can get today.
You get it from kissing a man who has a yeast infection in his mouth?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a learned doctor. But I would say kissing someone with a yeast infection of the mouth probably isn't going to help you in this case.
Yeah, it's not good.
Just like a guess here, though. So the Bell Witch took care of Lucy while she was sick. It would sing to her and tell her all the hot goss in town to keep her company. When people brought food for Lucy while she was sick, it would yell at people for bringing things that Lucy was not fond of.
Oh, my God, I love this.
Right? I want a Bell Witch to love me like right? this. It was awesome. Lucy loved grapes and hazelnuts, and it brought her both while she was sick.
Get you someone that loves you the way the Bell Witch loves Lucy.
In fact, fruits would just show up sometimes from the witch, like for the family. It wasn't just for Lucy. It was just like stuff would just show up. Like it would be the dead of winter and fruit would just appear without any reason other than the witch was bringing the family a gift.
Amazing.
And it would be like fruits that aren't even around. Like it would just be like exotic fruits.
Like a pineapple? Like, yeah. What is this even?
Right. And they're like, what? And it's like winter and no one's growing this. They're, you know?
That's amazing. Okay. You know what?
Crazy.
I do want a Bell Witch.
Kind of, right? The witch would also provide the family with predictions of the future, all of which turned out to be right. It would predict, it would provide vital information about certain weather patterns, which at the time were extremely useful because if you're a farmer and you relied on the weather to grow your crops,
right,
having a little bit, like a tidbit of information like, hey, maybe wait 2 weeks, there's going to be like a cold front coming in. It's going to kill all your seeds.
Mm-hmm. All your tomato plants.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows John Bell was a terrible farmer. So.
I mean, if North, yeah. If living in North Carolina taught us anything. So, yeah. So the witch would give them helpful information, and it was right most of the time. The witch was also responsible for saving lives. In May of 1820, Betsy and Richard Bell were outside traveling the property when a storm started to brew. The pair started to take a path to get home, but the voice of the witch appeared and told them to take a different route as to avoid falling trees in the path that they were planning to take. The children obeyed, and the next day they discovered that the path that they had originally planned to take did indeed have several branches fallen from the storm.
Whoa.
So the witch was like, hey, you might die. Take this way instead. And they were like, okay.
And Betsy's like, I could go for some death, honestly. Can you stop beating me, please?
Betsy really isn't getting beaten at this point.
Oh,
though.
Okay.
She's
okay.
Like, it's like kind of laid off of her. Now it's on John. It's like,
okay. All God. Right.
A month later, Betsy Bell and several other children in the community and like surrounding properties, they were all outside playing on the Bell property, and they decided to go exploring in the cave nearby. Yes, the Bellwitch Cave.
The cave.
The infamous Bellwitch Cave.
The cave of Bellwitch fame.
Mm-hmm. A 9-year-old boy named Johnny decided to break away from the group and explore on his own. Little Johnny got his head stuck under a pile of rocks,
okay,
and he couldn't move, and he was slowly suffocating under the dirt and the rocks.
That's really sad, and I'm also picturing a boy with his head, and like his body's like flailing, and his head's just like covered in pebbles. That's really sad.
Yeah. The other children were just off playing on their own until they realized that Johnny was missing. So once they realized this, they started frantically searching for him. Everyone's in a panic. Where's Johnny? Where's Johnny? And then all of a sudden, the cave lit up. So light just forms in this dark cave, okay, out of nowhere. And the voice of the witch emanated off the walls. And it just said, I'll fetch him. And then Johnny, who was barely clinging to life because he didn't have any oxygen left.
Yeah, his fucking head was under the ground.
Stuck in a pile of rocks.
Yeah.
He feels a pair of strong hands grab him by the ankles and pull him out from underneath the rocks, saving his life.
Okay, so the Bellwitch probably said it like, I'll fucking fetch him. Hold on.
Right.
Dumbass fucking.
So they find Johnny. And then when they got out of the cave, Betsy was like, Betsy credited his entire rescue to the witch.
That's amazing.
She was like, it was all the witch. We were trying to find him. We couldn't. He got pulled out by someone. Wasn't us. Had to have been the witch.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah. So it's weird. Like, this entity is, it's slapping Betsy. It's vowing to kill John. It loves Lucy. It saves a little boy's life. Like, what the hell?
You know what? It contains multitudes.
You know what? Maybe it's the different personalities that are doing these different things, mm-hmm, you know?
It's
maybe
like a split thing.
Yeah, maybe there's just, well, it said that it was, it had seven spirits or whatever. So yeah, maybe each one of these spirits is, I don't know, some are angry and evil and some, mm-hmm, are good and help you.
Yeah, but all of them have a crush on Lucy.
All of them love Lucy.
Yeah. All of them. They made a show about it called I Love Lucy. That's what that was originally
about. That was about the Bell Witch, mm-hmm, loving Lucy.
Yes, yeah, that's originally what that was about.
Originally, yes. In the olden days. The Bell Witch haunting became so renowned that it even attracted the attention of prominent historical figures of the time. General Andrew Jackson, who would later become the 7th president of the United States, reportedly visited the Bell family to witness the phenomena.
Did he see anything?
Oh, you're about to find out. So Jackson's encounter with the Bell Witch was said to have left a lasting impression on him, and his account further fueled the fascination and notoriety surrounding the haunting. Andrew Jackson and his entourage of 7 friends decided to pay the home a visit. John Bell Jr., along with his brothers Drury Bell and Jesse Bell, had fought under General Jackson in the Battle of New Orleans in the War of 1812. So they kind of were familiar with him. He wasn't just like some random guy showing up to be like, hey, you know. Upon entering the Bell property, Andrew Jackson's horses and wagon came to an abrupt stop. It had become stuck in a muddy creek bed, and the horses were unable to pull it out. Or so they thought. After several minutes of trying without any luck, Jackson exclaimed, "By the eternal, boys, that must be the Bell Witch."
Wow, that was really good, Jackson.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really nice.
When suddenly a disembodied voice was heard, and it told Jackson and his men that they were allowed to continue on, and it would be seeing them again later that evening. It was the witch.
The witch.
The men were then able to coax the horses through the mud, and they continued on their way to the Bell family cabin. That night at dinner, Jackson told old war stories to the family while his men set up tents on their property. One of the men in the party claimed to be a witch tamer. Because I guess that was a thing.
Oh, the audacity of man.
Right. So he pulled out a pistol from his pocket and he told everyone that it was loaded with a silver bullet. And that this silver bullet would kill anything evil it came into contact with.
Okay, well, they tried to throw flour on it once and it didn't work, so good luck shooting it.
Right. He also told them that the reason they hadn't been attacked yet, like physically attacked by the witch, I guess besides the wagon, but like none of them had gotten slapped yet.
Okay.
He said that that was because he had the bullet and that the witch was scared of it.
And I bet the witch was like,
well,
let's fucking party.
Almost on command, right after he said, finished saying this, the man started to scream and his body started jerking in all directions.
Okay.
He yelled out in pain, claiming it felt as if he were being stuck with 1,000 little pins while being beaten at the same time.
Oh, I thought you had your silver bullet, though.
Oh, where's your bullet now?
Oh.
The Bell Witch then kicked him in the ass and kicked him out of the house. The entity then announced that there was another man in the group who was a fraud, saying it would identify the fraud the next evening.
Okay, I love this, how we're delaying it for dramatic effect.
It's all drama. Like, I feel like the Bell Witch personas are like almost as if the Bell family is watching some reality TV on Bravo right now.
This is giving like Big Brother. This is giving Real Housewives.
It's like Real Housewives, Vanderpump, like
the Real Housewives of Red
Summer
River.
House. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like
the
a
Real
reality
House
show.
Witches.
House witches. So with the prospect of one of them being outed as a fraud and the fact that the witch turned out to be completely true, the men begged Jackson to leave the farm at once. Probably just because they were scared that, like, one of them was going to be told, like, outed, you know?
Yeah, but, like, why would the other ones that were a fraud be afraid?
Because they were scared. I don't know. Maybe they were all had something to hide and they were afraid the witch was going to, like, out them. Who knows?
Are you guys wiping your ass after you shit? Because
is that a thing we're supposed to do? Or do you do that? Yeah, me too. Totally. I do.
Yeah, I definitely do. I do that too. Every time. Do you guys ever chew on salt to clean your teeth? Yeah, me too. Every day.
Every single day. But Jackson was like, no. If one of you is lying, we're going to stay and we're going to find out.
Okay, that's a slight. Also, wasn't he the laissez-faire president?
I don't know.
He's the one that's like kind of like he took like a chill approach to like American politics. I think he is.
Was he?
He was right before Lincoln, right?
He's the 7th. Lincoln was the 9th, wasn't he?
Was he? I don't know. I think he was the laissez-faire one, though. That was like, he's like, I don't know, man. Let's see how this plays out. Like, that was like Andrew Jackson's whole thing.
Really?
I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like, he's like living up to it. Oh, Martin Van Buren. I forgot about that guy.
Was Lincoln the 9th?
He's the 16th.
Oh, okay.
We should go to school.
Okay. So, actually, Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president, right?
I do believe that is correct.
We are smart.
100%. I believe it was Martin Van Buren that came after.
Right, right. I do believe that is correct.
I do say. And I just looked it up and he is the laissez-faire president.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, he was just like, whatever then. So Jackson's like, no, we're going to stay here. I want to figure out which one of you is a fraud.
He loved the drama.
He also liked the fact that the witch was true. He was like, this is kind of cool. But the men still begged him to leave the farm. So they stayed and retired for the night in their tents. All the while, they're still like, come on, man, can we just go? Like, this is scary. Like, we don't want to be here. But they're like, no, we're staying. So after that, what happened the rest of the night is not clear. But what we do know is that Andrew Jackson and his crew were spotted early the next morning in the nearby town of Springfield.
Oh, shit.
So obviously some shit went down over the night.
They got scared.
Yeah. And all Andrew Jackson had to say about the experience was this. I would rather fight the British at New Orleans than fight the Bell Witch.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you just throw tea into a harbor, the British are sad and they like leave or something.
He apparently whatever happened scared him so much that he was like, I'd just put me back. I'd rather go to war again.
That's amazing.
Rather go to war. It's also worth noting that historical records do not provide conclusive evidence of Jackson's visit. So we're not sure if this even happened, but if it did, this inclusion to the story adds a layer of credibility and significance to the legend itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know where we got this information? Like, if it was in someone's diary or something?
It was in bellwitch.org, which had just, like, everything. It had, like, some person took a really deep dive into this story and has, like, everything that you could ever possibly want is on the Bell Witch. I think it's bellwitch.org. It's in the sources. But yeah, this came from there.
Okay, interesting.
So at this point in the story, John Bell's condition is escalating and it's getting worse.
He's just got fungus all over his
yeast
mouth.
Yeast in the mouth.
Blech.
In and around his mouth.
Stop.
By this point, he was losing control of his entire body and was oftentimes bedridden because of it.
I got the yeast body.
I got the yeast body pop. In October of 1820, John Bell, who was around 70 years old at this time, which is pretty damn good for 1820, if you ask me.
That's pretty good for now.
Right? So around this time, John's twitching and his face is worsening, and the witch was really starting to mess with him, like vowing every day. It's just like, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die.
It's pretty fucking funny, though.
John's like, I can't open my mouth to respond.
Yeasty boy says what?
The witch would remove his shoes when he tried to walk and, like Betsy, would slap him around. He, too, was experiencing fits of seizures at this time. And one day John was in the pig pens doing chores with one of his sons when he was violently pushed to the ground and slapped around by the witch. His entire body started to jerk around, and he once again lost complete control. And all of a sudden, they heard evil laughter from the witch. And after this incident, John Bell was bedridden for 2 months, and doctors could not figure out what to diagnose him with.
I think there might be ghosts in his blood. I think we should take some of it.
On the morning of December 20th, 1820, John Bell breathed his last breath after slipping into a coma the day earlier. After John's death, the family found a strange vial of black liquid in the kitchen cupboard. The family had no idea where the vial came from.
Oh.
When they smelled the liquid that was in the vial, mm-hmm. it smelled a certain type of way. And then when they smelled John's breath, like it had the same smell.
Oh.
So they came to the conclusion that whatever was in the vial was yeah. given to John.
Oh, my God. Munchausen.
I don't know.
Oh.
But they didn't know what it was. So in an attempt to figure out what it was, John Jr. sprinkled 2 drops of the leftover liquid onto their cat's tongue.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to like this part.
No.
The cat jumped up into the air and then rolled over dead. And the witch's voice boomed, "I gave old Jack a big dose of that last night, which fixed him."
Well, I mean, it was threatening to kill him for a long time, yes. so they should have seen this coming.
They finally did
it. I wonder what it was. That's so scary. I mean, black liquid is always going to be, like, scary and, like, a little vial.
Yeah.
I don't like that they killed the cat, though.
Yeah, I know, right? So John Jr. tossed the rest of this mysterious liquid into the fireplace, where it exploded into a bright blue flame that shot up through the chimney.
Okay.
So, witchcraft? I don't know. Some historians have speculated that John was most likely afflicted by a neurological disorder, even though the witch claimed to be the culprit. But it was 1820, so very little was known about these types of disorders. Some claim that the discovery of Bell's palsy and the name were a product of John Bell and his unknown condition.
I mean, if his face was, yeah.
But this isn't true.
Oh.
Sir Charles Bell discovered this disorder, hence the name, no relation. And many people believe that John Bell's symptoms were not consistent with this disorder. And Bell's palsy was discovered several years after John Bell's death. So it's believed that John had some sort of neurological degenerative disorder that went undiagnosed because it wasn't discovered at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just like took complete control over him and eventually killed him. The cause of John Bell's death was officially linked to the Bell Witch, as they really didn't have any other explanation.
That's really interesting.
And Tennessee became the only state that officially acknowledged a person's death to be caused by supernatural phenomena.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, still to this day, it's his cause of death is supernatural phenomena.
That's, first of all, very cool.
Kind of cool, right?
Yeah. Second, I completely understand why people would not say a ghost killed a man.
Right. The funeral held for John was one of the biggest in Robertson County history at the time. People came from far and wide to pay their respects to John. 3 preachers eulogized him.
A googly-eyed.
But they had to speak over the sound of the Bell Witch, who showed up to the party and laughed and sang about a bottle of brandy until every last mourner had left the graveyard.
Oh, no, my God.
Just, like, fucking with them still.
So fucked up.
From the, like, he's already dead, and it's still like, fuck you, John.
The witch is like, he's here with us now.
After the death of her father, Elizabeth, or Betsy Bell, reluctantly broke off her engagement with Joshua Gardner. She didn't want to, but she did it to protect him. Her reasoning was that if the witch were able to do what she did to her father, ultimately killing him, it was likely that she would try to pull the same thing with Joshua because she didn't want them to marry, and she vowed to follow them if she did.
Yeah.
So she loved Joshua, and she didn't want him to suffer the same fate as her father, so she broke off the engagement, which is, like, the saddest part in this whole story.
Yeah.
On Easter Monday, 1821, Betsy ended the engagement, and Joshua moved away from the area to Henry County, Tennessee. There he met a woman named Sarah Donaldson, and together they had 2 children, and he never saw or spoke to Betsy again.
Oh, well, he lived, I guess, so that's good.
Yeah. After John's death and Betsy officially calling off the engagement, the Bell Witch told the family that it was leaving for some time.
Oh fucking K.
Because those were like the two main things. It was like, I want to kill John, and Betsy, you can't marry Joshua.
Yeah, it's just like going down its to-do list.
Yeah, that was like the two things that it really cared about. So it had came to Lucy Bell, and it told her that it would return in 7 years. With Joshua out of the picture, Richard Powell,
pedophile,
finally had a chance to shoot his shot, and he began frequently visiting the family. He would recite poems to Betsy to help lift her spirits after the death of her father, because it really took its toll on her.
Okay, but like, you know, he wrote it, and like, he thought he was really good at writing poetry, and it was like fucking terrible.
It was like, Betsy, you are pretty. The witch is shitty.
That's really good.
Love, Richard.
Wow, that's good. Betsy, B for beautiful. E for easily the most beautiful. T for that girl is so beautiful. S for super beautiful. Y for fuck. Yellow is also beautiful.
Yes.
She's like, okay, dick, whatever. Can you just pay for me to like live out my life? Let's just do this.
So Betsy's like, she's going through the death of her father. She just had to give up the one true love of her life to protect him. So she's kind of like in a downward spiral right now. And you know what? The two eventually entered into a courtship, which what else is she going to do, man? Like,
right? Fucking 40-year-old virgin over here.
Right. So they entered into a courtship that lasted for 3 years. And it would end up with the two marrying on March 21st, 1824.
All right. Well, at least she was like 17 at the time.
Yeah.
So I guess. And I don't know. I'm going to say it. You know, girls got to eat. So.
Yeah. I mean, her name with Bell Witch and everything. Everyone in town was probably like, we don't want to get involved. That's a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
You know. As promised, the entity returned in 1828. And started up with its usual bullshit, pulling sheets off of beds, making weird noises. But it was particularly interested in John Bell Jr., with whom it had several conversations about life, religion, and the need for a more spiritual awakening in just the world in general.
All right, so they're just having, like, philosophy hour.
Yeah. But it did predict that the Civil War would happen, which would eventually happen in 1861.
Which we already knew because we're scholars.
Because we know things like that.
We do.
So, I mean, it was kind of was just there for like whatever, but it did. It was like, yeah, the Civil War is going to happen. And it was right. Yeah,
just like threw that in there.
Right. But for the most part, the family was over the entity and they tried a different tactic. They just ignored it. And since its major beef with the family was over with, Betsy was no longer with Joshua, and John was dead, it eventually just went away after just 3 weeks. It did, however, promise to visit John Bell's most direct descendants in 107 years, which would be in the year 1935.
Ooh.
But some believe that it didn't go away at all. The legend says that the witch just retreated to what some also say was where it came from in the first place, the cave.
Oh, of Bell Witch fame.
Of Bell Witch fame. It's believed the witch still resides in the cave on the Bell property, and paranormal investigators who have explored will confirm this.
When you went, did you feel like you felt something sort of paranormally there?
I will say this. Having visited the Bell property and the cave, I didn't really experience anything that weird. So the cabin that they have is just a reproduction of the cabin. Right. They just like guessed on how it looked and like how it would be built. It's not in the same location as the old cabin was either.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put it closer to that. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier to get like maybe you have to travel further and they didn't want to build a road or something. I don't know. So it's just like a replica of the cabin, but I didn't feel anything there because it's like they just built it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I didn't really experience anything weird in the cave at the time. Like nothing felt creepy. I mean, like I said, there were spiders and it was just creepy because you were in like in a cave and it was all dark. They do have lights in it, but
yeah.
I didn't experience anything weird at the time. I mean, I was more afraid of the gigantic spiders that lived in the crevices.
Yeah.
And you basically, there are some points where you have to crawl.
Like hands and knees?
Not hands and knees, but I was like full over, like bent down. Like if you are a very tall man.
If you are.
Going through the Bellwitch Cave, there are points where you have to like, it's.
You have to like crouch.
It's crouched, yeah. Okay. And like I'm only 5'6", and it was, I had a crouch, so I can only imagine what it is. And there are spiders like all around you. So it does get a little claustrophobic, I will say that.
Okay, but you like didn't get like a vibe from it.
No, but I also didn't have the chance to investigate. It was just like a tour with other people and the guide was just kind of going through. But I will say this though, having done this research, it sparked something in my brain, which at the time just seemed sort of weird, but it's got me thinking now.
Okay.
So the guide brought us as far as we could physically walk in the cave. And she told us that the cave went on for miles from that point. So, but no one had actually explored it completely because obviously you would need gear and all of that.
Yeah.
So this was just like the furthest you could actually walk without having to like crawl in like a weird like crevice and use like ropes and shit. So that part was creepy that, you know, we only got to see a portion of it and it, like it went on for miles and miles back. Like who knows what could be back there? No one does.
Oh, I'm sure.
She actually told us that they were like the next week they were having students from whatever the university that's nearby were coming and they were going to like research.
Spelunk into it?
Yes. So I'm like, oh, we came like at the worst time.
Yeah.
So people were going to actually like go further and like try to map it out.
That's pretty cool.
So people are trying to do currently. I don't know where they're at with that, but that's what she told us.
That's also really scary because I've seen a lot of horror movies with caves and I have decided I will not descend into a cave. No. That's not for me.
So when she had us go all the way towards the back, at that point, she just told us, she's like, this is the part where everyone, we just stop talking, where we just be quiet and we listen. And I think I mentioned this, but I swear to God, it sounded as if there were people whispering or talking further down, like in the cave, the parts where like we couldn't walk to.
Yeah.
And it sounded as if there were like someone had left on a TV in the next room. Like a muffled conversation.
Yeah. Like distant, like in the distance.
Yeah. Like kind of like whispering. So I was like.
Yeah.
Like ooh, that.
I got goosebumps.
Which now having done this research, it kind of tracks.
Did you hear anyone being
like the whispering and all the voices and everyone talking? I'm like that. Kind of follows along with the story.
Yeah, especially like if you heard a bunch of people talking.
Yeah, it sounded like multiple voices were like down that cave. It sounded like there was another tour group further ahead of us.
No shit.
Talking, but there couldn't have been because we were at the last point
and
that
no
you could
one
go.
Was talking in the
nope,
cave.
No, everyone was silent.
The sound travels.
Yeah, no, everyone was silent. She all had us in a group and we were the only group in the cave. There wasn't anyone behind us. There wasn't anyone in front of us and we were all quiet and it sounded like voices, multiple voices. So it's kind of interesting.
Did you hear anyone being like, okay, so this is what I heard?
I didn't. I couldn't make out any words or anything. But
pass me that brandy.
Right. In 1935, the year the witch vowed to return, the closest living direct descendant of John Bell would have been Dr. Charles Bailey Bell, was a neurologist of all things and was living in Nashville at the time. And he was John Bell's great-grandson. Rumor has it that the witch never returned. Or if it did, no one was aware of its presence. And we would definitely know about it if it did return because Dr. Charles Bailey Bell, who was very interested in the history of his family. So much so that he wrote a book in 1934 about his ancestors' experiences called The Bell Witch of Tennessee.
Okay, so he would have, like, recorded this.
If the witch had presented itself to him the year after he wrote this book, he definitely would have written a follow-up book.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's no... He would have done it. So in this book, he included first-hand accounts allegedly taken from John Bell Jr. His father, Dr. Joel Thomas Bell, was the son of John Bell Jr.
Okay.
Who was there at the time of the hauntings. Like, he was...
Right.
You know... And he allegedly, so Dr. Charles Bailey Bell, his father allegedly sat down with his grandfather and asked him about the story and took notes and wrote down his experiences with the witch. And that's apparently what this book is all about. It's like, so it's like firsthand accounts from John Bell Jr.
Wow. I wonder if the witch did come back and like they went back to the cabin and the cabin wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. Or it just couldn't, I don't know, for whatever reason, travel to Tennessee. I don't know.
Do you have to cross a river to get there?
No.
Oh, well then.
Yeah.
Never mind. You have to cross like a really big like sewer or something.
Maybe. I don't know. We're not a geography podcast.
We are a geography podcast. The foremost.
Foremost. While the true identity and origin of the Bell Witch remains unknown, there have been various theories and speculations regarding its nature. Everyone's first guess would be Kate Batts, which we already explored earlier on, but we're not even sure if that interaction happened. And also, why would Kate mess with Betsy so much? Like, that part to me doesn't track.
Yeah.
Like, I get John, but Betsy didn't do anything. Like, why would you fuck with her?
Yeah, I don't really get that, but it did love Lucy.
It did love Lucy.
And Lucy and Kate were cousins, right? Mm.
Another theory is that the Bell Witch was a malevolent entity from Native American folklore, or a powerful elemental spirit tied to the land itself. And these theories draw upon the rich history and the spiritual traditions of the region to try to explain the haunting.
Okay, like a residual, not residual, but like a... I like the idea of it being an elemental.
Like a land spirit, just kind of, you know.
Like a bunch of gnomes, the fae.
Yeah.
Something like that. They love tricks and drinking, so why not?
There was also a rumor that while clearing the land for crops, the Bell family came across a, drum roll please.
I'm going to roll my eyes so hard if you're going to say what I think you're going
to say. Native American burial ground.
Perfect. We love to blame everything on that.
So original. Mm-hmm. I know, right?
Yeah.
But the family claimed that they left it alone because they knew damn well that it was not something to be fucked with. Because even back then, disturbing graves and doing shit like that was, you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, like don't, what are you fucking with bones, man?
Exactly.
Leave them
exactly.
alone.
Drury Bell, on the other hand, apparently went back and dug up the gravesite with his friend.
Okay.
According to the story, the two of them took a jawbone from the burial site and brought it back to the house with them. But when they brought it back inside, or I guess while they were bringing it back inside, a tooth fell off of the jawbone and fell under the porch.
Oh.
John Bell, finding the bone, made them return it to the burial spot because he's like, you don't mess with this, return it to where it was.
Yeah.
But because of the missing tooth, it wasn't completely returned,
right.
Which was why the haunting started. And this was just a story that the witch told, like most of the stories, but then it claimed it was false. So who knows if this was actually the reason why?
I wonder if Drury was like, I didn't do that, or like, I did do that.
Or right. Like, or like, we did, like, bury it. It's fine, you know?
Yeah, but if they left a tooth there.
A ghost of a Native American was also spotted, has been spotted on the property. At least that's what the guide has told us. Because obviously we asked, like, have you seen anything? Is anything weird?
Yeah.
And she said, I have seen a ghost of a Native American.
Okay.
Whether or not that has anything to do with the witch or it's just the property in general, no one knows. Because, I mean, like I said, the area was, before the Bells had it, it was Native American land.
Yeah,
so
you know what's so crazy about this country?
All of it was.
Yeah, it was. All of it was Native Every American land.
Single piece of it.
It's so crazy how that happened. And now, here we are. Here we are.
And here we are. Another theory suggests that the Bell Witch was just a poltergeist or a powerful form of psychic energy generated by Betsy Bell herself. Poltergeist activity often revolves around a young person experiencing emotional turmoil or stress. And in this case, Betsy's tumultuous experiences during the haunting have led some to believe that she may have unknowingly generated the paranormal phenomena herself.
Yeah, like a tulpa, like a egregore, like just a thought.
So I'm going to stop you right there because there's actually something to this theory.
Okay.
And that's exactly what I have later on.
Oh, sorry.
But I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, your mind is very powerful.
It seems like, yeah.
So
12 years into Betsy's marriage with Richard.
Pedophile dick, yeah.
Yes. The hauntings seemed to start up again. And they started just as they did the first time with the knocking on the roof. Except this time, Richard knew what they were dealing with, and he was not going to let them be haunted again. Some accounts of Richard state that he was also interested in the occult, and some even try to blame him as being the one who brought the haunting onto the family because he wanted to marry Betsy, which I don't think that part is true. I think it's just because the witch wanted him to marry Betsy instead of Joshua, which is why some people like believe that that's true.
Yeah. I honestly, though, just to put a hat in that bucket, I don't know what that analogy was, but you know, when you put your hat in a bucket and yeah. It means something,
right?
Yeah. So to put my hat in that bucket, maybe he did sort of conjure up something and he wanted to marry her instead of her marrying Joshua. And maybe John Bell OG was like, I don't think you should marry this man.
Well, her parents actually liked Richard Powell. They were friends, so they approved of that courtship too.
Okay. I was gonna say, it wasn't with him out of the picture. Yeah, like, it literally have to marry him.
Yeah, it was just the fact that the entity apparently had a fondness for Richard over Joshua. That's why people are like, he probably did it.
But okay, all right, never, let me just take my hat out of that bucket then.
So he knows that the hauntings, it's starting again. So to try to stop it, to get ahead of the problem before it's this fully manifested family of voices, Richard took Betsy to see a hypnotist. So while she's under, Betsy starts answering in the voice of Jerusalem.
Hell yeah, dude.
The little boy voice, which, you know, the weird drunken family. That's Jerusalem. And the hypnotist starts asking Betsy about the witch and Betsy. And in Jerusalem's voice, Betsy tells them that she was the one who created and manifested the entity. She tells them that she did it unknowingly to protect herself from her father.
Oh, I hate where this is going.
Yeah, this is going exactly where you think it is. She claimed that around the age of 12... her father started sexually abusing her at night when everyone went to sleep.
Oh.
Yeah. And if you remember, John Bell married her mother, Lucy, when she was 12.
Yes.
So him having a thing for little girls wasn't that far off.
No, he was super into children.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after this revelation, things started to kind of fall into place. So,
and she wants to kill, like, the witch wants to kill John. And
remember how the entity liked tearing blankets and the sheets off of the bed? Well, this apparently was mimicking how John would do this to her when he was coming to molest her.
That's fucked up.
Remember how many people experienced the attack of being pinned to the bed?
This is dark.
Also mimicking this act, as John would obviously be on top of her while he was molesting her. And if you remember the one time when Betsy had, it felt like there was a hand over her mouth and she couldn't scream or make a sound, also would be mimicking what John would be doing to her.
Fuck.
This would also explain why the entity targeted John, vowing to kill him. The reason why it was also targeting Betsy was because she kept quiet about the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe it was trying to, like, slap it out of her.
It was, yeah, it was punishment for her keeping this terrible secret and protecting her father when she should have told her mother or members of the community about the awful acts that he was committing against her at night.
Yeah, I mean, maybe her mom knew. And
she could a lot. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times that's the case.
And did, you know, did what she could to protect her, which is why the witch was nice to her mom.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Basically, this theory suggests that Betsy Bell, through her trauma, created a tulpa that eventually turned into an egregore. For those who aren't familiar with those terms, a tulpa is an entity that is created or manifested from a person's mind.
It's like, yeah, you think it into existence.
Yeah, it acts like a ghost, but it was never a living being. Think of it as like kind of an imaginary friend, like a Tyler Durden type of thing that you think into existence.
Right.
But it's not, it isn't manifest, it's not from anyone who's died or anything else. It's an energy that you create.
Yes. Like I could literally say, like, I don't know, name a thing.
Cup.
The cup man. And then, you know, like, mm-hmm. like if we talk about the cup man enough and then this man, like.
No. So tulpa's you specifically would be just from you. So an egregore is in the same vein, but an egregore is created by a group of people or a community.
Okay, so if I think of the cup man.
So if you just think of the cup man and then you start seeing the cup man, that's a tulpa. If us and a group of friends are talking about the cup man and we're like, oh my God, it's so scary, and then it manifests itself, that's an egregore.
Okay, okay. So egregore is a group.
Yeah.
Egregore, group, tulpa.
An egregore is essentially an entity created through collective thoughts of a group of people. Which is honestly something I think a lot of hauntings today are also fed by.
Oh, absolutely.
And are. Like, I mean, if you watch Kindred Spirits, they talk about it all the time. Like, it's just, if people are constantly coming, like, if you have a place that is rumored to be haunted and you have groups of paranormal investigators constantly coming in to look for a ghost, chances are those groups of people are going to create something, even if there's nothing there to begin with. It's kind of like a placebo effect that eventually manifests itself into being real.
Yeah, like how I constantly say, if a house is truly haunted, it will be haunted at night and during the day. Mm-hmm. Because we're all scared of the dark in some sort of way. We're all scared of seeing something scary in the dark. Mm-hmm. So you think it into existence. You think you saw something out of the corner of your eye. You think yeah. you saw, like, you heard something, whatever. But if you experience a haunting, if, like, anything mm-hmm. during the day, then you know, like, it's not just your fear of the dark, right. basically.
So the theory that I like to subscribe to is the fact that Betsy created a tulpa.
Yes.
And then it affected her so much because she was the one getting attacked, right?
Yeah.
It affected her so much. So then eventually her family started believing in it.
Yes.
And then through that, they together manifested the egregore.
Yes. She could have subconsciously forced them to believe in it by showing physical evidence that
exactly.
it existed.
If she's getting slapped around, they're like, what's happening? She's like, there's a ghost, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, there's a ghost.
I mean, it could have even started as something fake. She could have made this up to kind of like get attention mm-hmm. in a way to like help herself get through this awful thing she was going
yeah.
through. And then when her family saw her getting physically thrown around, they're like, oh fuck, it's real. And
yeah.
then it was manifested into
and
reality.
And became real.
Yeah.
Also, while under hypnosis, Betsy also confessed to being possessed by the witch. So she's under possession, right, when she's doing this.
Yeah.
And she confessed to picking poisonous berries and making the tincture that she then fed to John Bell, resulting in his eventual death.
I mean, she deserved to do that anyways if he was molesting her.
Right. So some say it was like nightshade. It could have just been some other type of poisonous berry on the property. Which also makes me think if John was having these neurological problems and like growing fungus on his tongue. I mean, I know we've decided that it's like a yeast infection of the mouth.
Yeah.
But I wonder just how long the witch slash Betsy was actually poisoning him. You know, I wonder what other herbs or things it, like, tried, that found around the property and tried to use first.
Yeah.
That could have caused fungus on his tongue. You never know.
Okay, so I'm looking it up, and it's probably, I'm going to say deadly nightshade, just putting it out there. It's
yeah.
a blackberry that grows all over.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptoms of nightshade poisoning are abdominal pain, thirst, dry mouth, restlessness, flushing, skin irritation, vomiting, difficulty breathing, diarrhea, blood and urine, and death, obviously, is the big one.
Yeah.
Well, and neurological. It like, fucks your brain up.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. So they only found it, like, after he died. So I think that it was fed to him, and then, like, the next day he died. Well, he was put
yeah.
into a coma.
Yeah.
So it was probably given to him. He went into the coma and then died.
Because
he's also an older man.
She's giving him little bits all of the time.
I don't know if she was giving him little bits all of the time or if it was just one big dose. It sounds like it was one big dose.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just saying, like, if he has fungus growing on his mouth, I wonder
yeah.
what else she tried.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
To, like, you know, fuck with him.
Right. Yeah.
Because I, like, you know, I would.
She should have been poisoning him. So I love that for her.
Right. So after this confession, the Bell Witch never haunted the Bell family ever again. There have been zero reports by any living descendants, and there are still some living today. Though the witch itself seems to be dormant, The power still lives on today in the cave.
Ooh.
It is said that if you visit the Bellwitch Cave, you should not, and I repeat, not take any rocks from it. It said if you do so, bad luck will befall you. And this was actually corroborated by our tour guide.
Why did you come home from the Bellwitch Cave and with say, all of I these found rocks? You this rock? You think, I know you'll love it.
She said that when her family bought the land, she had heard the stories and the rumors of the witch. And they were actually told by the previous owners to never remove any stones from the cave.
Sounds like they an experience thing.
Don't take anything from the cave. Just leave it all there. But she said she was a young girl at the time and she didn't believe the stories. So while she was playing in the cave, she found a cool rock and she brought it back with her to her room. She said that several days later, the roof of her family's brand new $20,000 barn that they had just put up collapsed.
Oh, no.
She said she immediately returned the rock to the cave and that after that, their luck was fine. She also said that she warns everyone about this when she does the tours and that people obviously don't listen. And she said that she's constantly getting rocks mailed back to her. And she said she always returns them back to the cave.
That's good. She's a caretaker of the cave.
She is. And that is the story of the Bell Witch.
That's a good one, dude.
It's a doozy, right?
That was a fun, fun story.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dark shit. A lot of fun. Wow, I loved that one. Thank you so much. I know this is years in the making. We've been trying to do a Bell Witch episode for a long time.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this since before I even visited the cave, so.
Literally, like 2 years we started.
Like when we started this podcast.
Yeah. Well, that was amazing. That was very in-depth, and thank you. I loved that one. This is absolutely one of my favorite stories we've ever covered.
Yeah, it's a good one, for sure.
It's very good. If anyone has any stories, if you've been to the Bellwitch Cave, if you know anything about it, if you want to tell us about anything, you know, related or have any questions or whatever, write to us at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com or you can hit us up on our website, which is just quiteunusualpod.com. And I have a listener mail, if it's all right.
It is all right.
Okay. So this one is from Maggie. She says, love you all. Okay, let's jump into it. Love that. Good.
Let's jump right into it. I feel like we say that. Let's jump into it.
Right. This is more my sister's story, but now mine to tell. So my sister is friends with a paralegal. Let's name him Gabriel, who lives in South Central LA. She noticed that every time she would walk into his house, she would immediately get hot, like uncomfortably hot.
Mm.
So one day when she went over to his house, he had someone over that he was also helping with legal stuff. So my sister and the girl start talking and somehow they get onto the topic of the house and the girl casually mentioned that she has staged the house multiple times but still feels the weird vibes of the house.
Mm.
Then she says, it must be because a murderer used to live here. Have you ever heard of the Grim Sleeper?
Yes. I watched that documentary a long time ago.
Yep. You read that right. He is the third owner after Lonnie Franklin to live in that house.
Wow.
As far as I know, he hasn't experienced anything, but the garage did kind of burn down about 2 weeks after my sister found this out. I'll attach the pic and feel free to share. I hope this email gets read and send my love to the pets and remember to keep it strange and unusual. Maggie.
That's a good... I wonder why... Well, she said she was feeling hot and then the garage burned down.
Yeah, and if he's a man and he's not getting... I mean...
Yeah, I wonder if, like, fire hasn't had anything to do with... I can't remember he killed people, but...
You know what? We're going to add it to the list in the future sometime.
Sleeper.
It's on the list. Thank you so much, Maggie. If anyone has a story about a murderer or a fire, or maybe you're a paralegal and you just want to give us legal advice, send us...
We'll take it.
We could use it.
We always need it.
We do need it. Send us an email. You can do that at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on the fan mail at quiteunusualpod.com, or always slippery slide into those DMs, baby.
The socials.
Also, I just wanted to do a little shout out. We are having a Patreon coven members only get together this month. We're not doing our normal monthly live like we do. So yeah, if you want to join, it's literally $2 to join our Patreon. Just make sure you join by August 17th and we will add you to our little RSVP list and you can hang out with us. We're going to have like a little virtual party where everyone just gets to chat.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Shall be fun.
Yes. So you can find us on patreon.com at Quite Unusual Pod. You can fucking find us everywhere at Quite Unusual Pod.
Yeah. Like, just literally just search that everywhere.
Let's be honest.
And right. As always, remember to celebrate the strange
and keep it unusual. Bye. Bye. And this is the part of the show where we give praise to the all-knowing leaders, supporters of the podcast, coven members, and all-around benevolent beings.
To Tim M. Tim holds the record for most exorcisms done on a single human being, which is cool, but I don't think demons are responsible for your cavities. Maybe just go to a dentist next time.
Because exorcism doesn't fix everything, Tim.
Or brush your teeth with salt. I don't know.
Chew on a salt? I didn't know. Evan K. When Evan was in high school, he went to school with Mothman. But back then, he was just known as Mothboy.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, Mothboy! Katie T. Recently bought some Girl Scout cookies from a troop of black-eyed kids. She can't stop vomiting up black. And has been levitating in her sleep. But the thin mints, they're worth it.
They're so good. Adam K., the inventor of the world's smallest death ray. It's so cute and so deadly.
John S., a gray alien from the Zeta Reticuli system. John plays in a cosmic bowling league on the rings of Saturn. Great views. Awful pizza.
Honestly, pizza outside of Chicago is just no good.
Trash.
Caitlin R., who recently got kicked out of a psychics and medium club because she wouldn't stop saying, "That's so Raven," every time someone had a vision.
Alex C., she once beat Bigfoot at arm wrestling. There's proof, but all the photos are super blurry.
He would have won at foot wrestling, I bet.
Mm.
Jeff S. made a fortune selling tarot readings on the internet. He has no idea what the cards mean, so he just kind of makes things up on the fly. Not great, but I guess that's a way to do it.
I feel like you're not the only reader to do that, Jeff.
There's a lot of them.
Lenore M., a horticulturist that raises exotic plants. Did you know Venus flytraps have a distant cousin large enough to swallow a human man whole? I think I'd like to buy one of those.
Yes, there's a couple I could feed to this plant.
Be handy.
Mm. Justin W., who is serving 10,000 years in prison for committing the most heinous crime an ancient reptilian alien ever could. He turned off his enemy's heat lamp.
Molly M., a private chef for a family of vampires. Her job is super easy. She just orders Uber Eats and invites the driver in. She gets to eat the fast food and the vampires. Well, let's just say that's the last time that driver will be making any deliveries.
Molly.
Thank you to all of our coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
We're nothing. We're not even worthy of getting haunted by a single entity that has 5 to 7 voices inside of it, including a drunk child. We're not worthy of that.
We're not even worthy of a drunk child.
We're not even worthy of eating a bunch of salt. I'm so confused about the salt thing, but we're not worthy of that.
It doesn't matter. Just everyone brush your teeth. Okay, bye.